Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Are you the type of person who jumps straight out of bed when your alarm goes off? Or are you one of those people who likes to stay up really late into the night? And knowing whether you're a lark or an owl is vital to get the most out of the day. So we're going to learn more about this now from GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry and from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. Good morning to you both. Thank you for
being here.
Claire, will we establish first what you are? Harry, are you an owl or a lark?
Unfortunately, a poor old owl.
Are you?
I am.
That's why I'm surprised to hear that. Anne-Marie, what about you?
Oh, I'm a natural lark, but I do have some help at home with that. Two small larks.
Oh, you've got no choice.
Yes.
But you'd be naturally inclined to
be. I would be, thankfully. Lark. Yeah. Thankfully.
And look, given that we spend a fair portion of our lives, about a third of it, Harry, asleep, we don't really recognise how important sleep is to our overall physical and mental health. We're starting to learn, but I think we're just beginning it.
I think, Claire, this has been a big journey for me. In the last 10 years, I have changed my view that exercise was the most important mental health thing to sleep being the most important health thing. So it's now my number one.
Top of the list.
So when I'm trying to help a person, I will always zone in firstly on their sleep because it's so important.
But you have to have the exercise, I think,
but you
in
have
order to
have
get
the
good
sleep.
The
exercise is a critical part, but it's certainly really important. But I think this is a really important discussion because we spend 16 hours of the day awake, but 8 hours, one third of our lives is sleep. And I think what's
ideally
is an ideal word. And I think this conversation today is a really important one because when we get to 16 hours, we start to feel a bit sleepy, and we start to then feel kind of it's time to go to bed. The problem for us is that Mother Nature has designed this system where some of us will get sleepy early in the night and we'll be heading off to bed at 10 o'clock and having our bath and gone to bed. And then we'll get out in the morning like larks. That's what we call them. That's why we call you a lark. And you're full of beans and you're raring to go and the world is great. Then the poor old owl, on the other hand, is busy wandering because he gets his chronotype brain circadian rhythms click in much later. And he feels sleepy much later in the night and he doesn't want to go to bed. He can't, in fact, if he goes to bed early, he won't sleep. So he goes to bed later and then he wants to sleep later in the morning. And of course, he's going to be sluggish, therefore, and less active in the morning and less likely to be of any help in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as the day goes on, he will come into his own. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, later in the day.
So it's kind of understanding ourselves is really, really important.
Okay. And Anne-Marie, can you talk to us about the differences then between the larks and the owls?
Yeah, so I suppose the larks and the owls are very common shorthand to reflect differences in your natural inclination towards what time of day you'd like to go to bed or your tendency towards morningness or eveningness. There are other terms we use. So larks and owls are shorthand, of course. We have a whole bunch of people in the middle who like to live their life according to society's schedule and it suits. But those larks, I suppose, one rule of thumb has been if you fall asleep before 11 and wake before 8, you might be described as a lark. And if you fall asleep after 11 and wake up after 8, you could be described as an owl.
Mm-hmm. They're the basic differences.
Yeah. And of course, it's a spectrum. All right. But it's a nice rule of thumb and it's been quite common. Now, what's interesting, some people have tried to complicate it further with early larks, intermediate, owls, all kinds of other categories. But I like larks and owls. People can relate to that and understand that as somebody who goes to bed at a kind of an early hour, who likes an early night, and somebody who only comes into their own, I suppose, in the evening.
Can you train yourself to be one or the other?
Well, when you talk about chronotype or this idea of larks and owls, you could try and train yourself and you might have some degree of success, but you're kind of working against biology. So it seems that really people are biologically wired to be this way. And we see shifts in this preference across the lifespan as well. There's some developmental changes across the lifespan in sleep. But I wouldn't, even though there's some effort to change it, I actually wouldn't change it. I think if you can accommodate it first, that would be much better because it is a natural biological way that you're wired. So if you can accommodate it best you can, that would be preferred.
Yeah, but you may have owls who, because of their work pattern, mm-hmm. they have to get up very early. The same, a lark who has to work late shifts at night. Is that when you run into problems?
That is when you run into problems. So there is some research that has linked this kind of eveningness or owl chronotype to poorer health outcomes, things like diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mood issues. And that's not necessarily because people are wired to have these health issues, but when they're living a life that conflicts with their natural inclination to sleep, they're not going to get as good quality sleep. Even if you think of somebody who's an owl who really comes into their own in the evening time, what opportunities are there for an owl to, I suppose, live that full life when everyone else is going to bed? You know, they're going to take up habits that might involve going out for drinks, maybe eating at odd hours, rather than healthier habits when you can get to the gym in the middle of the day, for example. So I suppose the owls are a little unlucky because there are those associations with health outcomes, but it's not because they're an owl, it's because they're trying to live, I suppose, in conflict with their natural biology. And it's very hard, of course, to negotiate with employers and to do anything, for example, about school times. But if you can make any change at all, I think it's certainly worthwhile.
And Harry, knowing whether you're a lark or an owl and trying to adapt your life around the type of person that you are, that's really important, just to get the best out of your day.
I think the first thing, I think so much of what Anne-Marie said there is so correct. But really, about 40% of us are larks, about 30% of us are owls, and the rest fall somewhere between, probably veering towards one or the other. And I think a really important point here is, and I think Anne-Marie really put her finger on it there, that this is a genetic tendency. Do you know, this runs in families. Do you know what I mean? So we all are genetically designed, do you know what I mean, to be one way or the other. We call it our chronotype. And the real problem we have is that whether we like it or not, society favours the lark. You know, we think the lark is great. They're up in the morning. They're full of energy. They're full of beans. They're out there and they're at work and they're all game ball. But by six in the evening, they're gone. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the owl, unfortunately, and we always say the lark is great, going to bed early. They're getting, doing all the right things. And then the poor old owl comes along and the owl has been criticised by everybody. They're lazy in the morning. They're not have any help in the morning. And then at night, they come into their own. They're wandering around the house when the lark is trying to sleep. Do you know what I mean? The other person is wandering around that. So, but I think it really becomes a problem when we look at modern life, because modern life, after the working, you know, after the economic revolution and modern life, everything is geared towards the lark. You know, think of the early morning commutes, the delivering of the children, getting into work early, blah, blah, blah. It's all set up for the owl or for the lark. But unfortunately for the owl, they get out of bed late. Or early for them, but late technically. They feel tired, they feel sleepy, and they come in to work. And what's the first thing they go for? They go for coffee. Mm-hmm. And caffeine, unfortunately, sits in your adenosine receptors in the brain, and has a half-life of 8 hours. So if you keep taking coffee all day long because you're tired all day long, that makes it harder to sleep the following day. And I think there are really, really important... I think it's important that we look at the health side of this. Do you know what I mean? Jokes aside, we can look at relationships. But there's a very important health part of this, and Anne-Marie has really put her finger on it here, that our sleep, our 8 hours sleep is divided into five 90 minutes approximately bursts of what we call non-REM sleep or REM sleep, which is called dream sleep or slow sleep. And the first 4 hours is basically slow sleep or deep sleep. And this is vital for our physical health as well as everything else. So this is the time we clear toxic metabolites out of our brain to our lymphatic system. Our heart gets a rest. Our blood pressure gets a rest. Natural killer cells wandering around the body are bumping off cancer cells like breast cancer cells and things like that. So if we're not getting enough sleep at that time of the day, we're more at risk of these conditions. And in the second half, very interesting from the mental health point of view, this is where we detach our memories from our contextual, our emotions. So really, really important for mental health. So people who don't get enough of the late part of the night, the last 4 hours, are more likely to be anxious, depressed, are more likely to drink more, are more likely to be more stressed. So there are significant health differences between the owl and the lark, which I think we don't really talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we're focusing on the owl a lot. But if you're a lark and you don't go to bed early enough, you're going to run into exactly the same problem.
I couldn't agree more with you. But it would be my experience that the larks seem to find a way, to get to their bed, because they literally will feel very tired. Do you know what I mean? They'll run out of steam and they will simply, I'm gone, I'm out of here. Do you know what I mean?
But I think typical work hours are quite well structured around a lark as well. You know, it's no harm you being up a little too early for work, but you can't be late, right? So that's where people who have that evening tendency run into difficulty. And I think they're unfairly maligned as well, because, you know, they might do every bit as good a job, but they'll just need to start it later in the ideal scenario. And of course, we can't always facilitate that. But I'm really glad to hear, Harry, that you prioritise sleep when people have mental health issues, because certainly, besides asking about how many hours you get or a general indicator of quality, I don't think people think enough about whether you're getting your sleep at the right time.
Lark-owl pairings then, in a partnership, in a couple, Anne-Marie, how does that work?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, you know, during adolescence and early adulthood, people have a period where you kind of shift towards being an owl to being an evening type. And that might be when you meet your partner. So you might be going on evening dates, you might be going out for drinks, for food, and everything is great. You're doing the late nights, it's that kind of stage of life. But then your body will recalibrate to its natural state. And if one of you is a lark and one of you is an owl, well, you're stuck now, you know? But I think Wendy Troxell is actually a psychologist and scientist who does a lot of research on this topic of couples and sleep pairings. And it's really interesting, because most people think of sleep as an individual phenomenon. But of course, we spend a large chunk of our lives, many of us, sleeping beside somebody else who might disrupt our sleep. So I think if your sleep schedules aren't aligning, you know, don't take it as a reflection on the quality of the relationship. But certainly you'd have to address that and think about, well, how can this suit? You know, you don't want to be waking somebody up when they're asleep. You want everyone to get a rested night's sleep. And certainly when everyone has had good sleep quality, everything else in a relationship would be easier. So it can be difficult to have those conversations. You might think there's something wrong about having them. But actually, it's not surprising that people pair up with people who don't have that same sleep schedule.
Opposites attract, don't they?
Opposites attract, absolutely. I love this area, because I think there's this wonderful dance that goes on in relationships where there's a lark and an owl. Because, you know, to a certain extent, if they don't understand that it's genetic and that it's set, then the trouble is they blame the other person. So what I really suggest to people is discover whether you're a lark or not, and then sit down and then try and break the day up. If you're hopeless in the morning, well, let your partner do all that stuff in the morning.
There's always someone to cover all the jobs.
Let the other person cover it.
We're going to have to leave it there. Harry and Anne-Marie, thank you both very much indeed. That's all we have time for. Thank you for listening. The programme was produced by Deirdre Neeline, researched by Emma Cawley. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator, and Ruth Kennedy was on sound. We're back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, though, it's over to Louise Duffy.
Thank you very much, Claire. And our show today will feature a song from